Hi, party people. Denise here. Welcome to another edition of the Skiptown All-Stars Travel Podcast. I'm so happy you're joining us this week. We have something a little special for you. Not in the way that James says it's special, but like really special. We were asked to be guests on a podcast called This Travel Tribe. It's hosted by a wonderful woman named Lisa Andrews. And the premise of her podcast is to inspire families and single people to get out there and explore. She was so intrigued by our story that she asked us to come on her show. We talk about everything from how we started to where we see ourselves in the future. Sit back, relax, and listen to us on Lisa Andrews' show, This Travel Tribe. Enjoy.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hey, listeners. Ever wonder what it would be like to blow up your comfort zone at the tender age of 50? Well, we did just that. When our last kid went off to college, we hit the road in search of a new hometown. Now we bounce from city to city and bring you along for the ride. This is the Skiptown All-Stars Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of our This Travel Tribe podcast. I'm so happy that you are here joining me today. We have some guests with us today, which is always a really fun thing to have happen here on the podcast. We have Denise and James Gordon, and they are going to be sharing about a really fun adventure that they are on. They have recently become empty nesters, which I can relate to because my husband and I also became empty nesters in this past year. But they have done something kind of unique. And so I'm excited to talk to them about it because it's all about travel. So I know you're going to love it and love hearing from them and learning from them. But before we get in and start just learning about their big adventure, do you two just want to take a minute and introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Denise Gordon, and I am from Los Angeles, California. Originally from Chicago, but lived in Los Angeles for about 30 years in the Los Angeles, San Diego area. And James and I started an adventure about 2 years ago, but I'll let James introduce himself before we get into that.
All right.
I'm James Gordon, obviously, and I am obviously also along on this adventure. I've been a television editor for about 20 years. I've worked mostly on competition and reality shows. My forte is sort of, well, my slogan, I guess, is if somebody's getting eliminated, I've probably worked on that show with a few exceptions. So we raised three kids in Los Angeles. Denise had a day spa in Agora Hills up until the time we decided to depart LA. And once our last child went off to college, that was it. We packed up the van and the dog and hit the road.
Okay. So the dog gets to come along on your adventures.
She's still with us.
Yes.
I love that.
Everyone always asks about the dog.
Of course. I have a dog. I love my dog. How could you leave your dog behind? So the kids may leave, but you get to keep the dog with you.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
and then if that wasn't like crazy enough to just sell everything and hit the road, we actually decided to document our travels through a podcast. So we also podcast about what we do.
Yes. And we've decided we'll share this episode. So if you're listening here on This Travel Tribe, you could also go check it out over on their feed, which is Skiptown All Stars. And you add the word podcast if you're searching them on Instagram. But we'll be sure to link it up in the show notes. So you could go check out their podcast if you want to learn even more about all the things that they're doing on their big adventure. Okay. So let's just get started talking about this. So what you two decided to do, you became empty nesters and decided to just make a big shift in your life. So do you want to tell us about kind of what the catalyst was for that and then what you ended up doing?
Sure. So for years, we have talked about wanting to explore the country. And we knew that living in Los Angeles would be very expensive for us when we retired. We have three daughters. We raised them in Los Angeles. One is an adult living in Texas, working as a television news producer, and the other two are still in college. we knew that we could, obviously we could stay in LA, we could make it work, but to really make our funds go a lot farther, we would probably have to find an area that was just more affordable as we got older. And probably in the, like for the last 10 to 15 years, I always say that, you know, this is going to date us for sure, but we would see those articles on like AOL.com or Yahoo Travel.
AOL. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, you just dated us with the AOL.
Yeah, that's and okay.
We would print those out for each other. I would say, oh, there's this great town, and this is a true example. There's a great town that's popping up in Texas that everyone is talking about called Austin. We should probably check it out one day. Well, you know, here we are now 15 years later, and that is definitely not affordable. So that's not even an option. But the point is that I actually had a folder of all of these emails we would print out or travel suggestions. And we thought one day we're going to do this. We are going to check out all these places we've read about, and maybe one of those places will be our new hometown. So the conversation really probably started 10 years ago, maybe even 15. And our daughters were involved in the conversation. I mean, they knew as they were graduating that one day we would be living somewhere else. It just happened a little quicker than we had anticipated.
That's super fun. So really, the draw was just moving out of LA and trying out a new city somewhere in the US. But then your plans seem to evolve beyond that, right? So, James, do you want to tell us what happened next?
Well, the first precursor was actually COVID and the ability for me to finally, as I had been telling my employers for years, I could do this. I could be doing this from home. And COVID obviously proved it. The pandemic proved that for a lot of people in a lot of different industries, mine included. And so once I realized that I could, you know, feasibly continue working from home, even after the pandemic was over, we did a few little trips. We went up to Seattle for a couple of weeks just to, it's very important to remember for a lot of people listening that Los Angeles was on lockdown for about a year. And so we decided to sort of bust out for a little while. We rented an Airbnb up in the Seattle area. I was able to work from home. The girls were still doing their classes from school, their high school classes from the Airbnb we rented. So that trip was really the precursor to proving that we could do this. And then once 2022 rolled around, Denise had somebody come to her at her spa, and she was a realtor, a client of hers that was a realtor. And she basically said, we don't know what the Fed is going to be doing, but it looks like interest rates are going to be rising. I know you guys have talked about putting your house up for sale in 2024, 2023, but you need to do it now while the iron's hot. So we did exactly that. It's still a little bit of a sore subject with our youngest daughter that there was a for sale sign in the front yard during her graduation party. But when she went off to college, we legitimately moved out of the house as a family together. And since then, I did take a few months off. It was nice to relax and travel around the country, but eventually I had to go back to work. And it's been incredible the last year and a half, 2 years, just being able to sort of set up shop in hotel rooms or Airbnbs or wherever we're staying. And just, you know, continue to do my job while trying out a new city.
I love that. Now, I assume you had a house full of things, right? What did you do with all of your stuff?
We ended up selling everything. We even sold our cars. So the only items that we brought with us that we actually put in storage was our kids' art supplies from K through 12. I'm not even kidding when I say that.
It was ridiculous.
And a few articles of clothing, because we pretty much brought most of our clothes with us. And again, we sold everything. We sold our cars, our furniture, our plates, our dishes. I mean, everything that was in the house. So the only thing in storage at that point were just important papers, kids' art stuff, and maybe a few articles of clothing, like big, you know, winter jackets that we were not going to be using while we're, you know, searching out these new towns. Mm-hmm. So, it was a lot of work, and it sounded great in theory, but putting it together and having a yard sale and trying to get rid of everything was really, it was quite difficult, more so than we both had anticipated. We thought it was going to be simple. We're going to have a yard sale, an estate sale, and people will come and everything will be gone. No, 75% of our house was still there. And then we had to figure out, we're moving in 2 weeks. What do we do with this?
So was it really emotional for you to part with your things, or was it easier than you thought it might be?
For me, the answer is no. I looked at all of that stuff for 15 to 20 years. I couldn't wait to get rid of it. I was so tired of looking at those couches. Yeah. I can't even tell you. It just felt like a real fresh start. And that's, it really was. So why would I bring those things with us? It wasn't like we were moving locations for a job or moving locations for family. This was completely different. We were truly starting over, and we were going to start over in a new location, in a new home. So I just didn't want to bring any of those things with me. I really kind of wanted to start fresh wherever that may be, but I don't know. How did you feel?
I mean, it was a little bittersweet because we had finally gotten the house to where we loved it. The bathrooms had been redone over the years. Mm-hmm. The little guest house out by the pool was done. We loved our backyard. It was an oasis. And so to be giving those things up was a little bittersweet. But I just knew that there was a whole new trajectory for us as a couple. And especially not... Our children not being sort of sidled with a lot of college debt when they graduated with their bachelor's degrees. So the upside was tremendous for us.
I love that. So it's kind of, I know that you're traveling a lot now, as we're talking about.
Yes.
Are you on the search for a new home? Like, are you hoping to land in a new home base? Or do you think that you'll just perpetually be travelers and picking up and traveling?
Oh my gosh, that's the question our kids keep asking us. Are you going to find a home? Like, what is the story here? Mm-hmm. We really do want to find a home, but there is a part of us that, no lie, we really enjoy living like a local when we go somewhere, because we'll stay at a place for a month or, you know, minimum a couple of weeks. So we stayed in Savannah for a month. We've been in Connecticut for a month. We've done other places for a couple of weeks to get a feel for what it would be like to live there, because it's not a vacation. So what we do is completely different, because when you're on a vacation, you know, you're going to all the tourist sites and you're just taking it in as a tourist. But if we're feeling like we want to, it's the place for us to set down roots, then our experiences are much different. We are meeting people that live in those areas and chatting with them. We're of course doing a few things that are touristy, But our research is just different, because we want to know, like, is there an airport nearby? How is their public transportation? Is it a walkable city? Are the people friendly? So our hit list is much different than just being on a vacation.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, you sold your cars. How are you getting around? Did you end up buying a new car, or are you just relying on public transportation to get you all over the place?
Oh my gosh. We are definitely not RV nor public transportation people per se. We rented a van for the first several months. The truth is, we sold our cars because we were the type of people that would buy cars and just drive them until they couldn't be driven anymore. And so we loved not having a car payment. It was always tremendously important for us. And we had nice cars, but they were old. And so we knew they would not be making any cross-country trips in any safe fashion for us. So when we unloaded them, we did rent a car for probably 3 or 4 months. Eventually, we did decide that that was just becoming too expensive. And so we ultimately settled on a Subaru Outback that Denise was talked into for safety reasons. And we have a love-hate relationship with it, but it is the current Skiptown Mobile.
Okay, so it's working for you. Now, do you have a kind of a home base where you kind of settle in or maybe store some of your things, or are you just always on the road?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because we purchased a home before we decided to leave Los Angeles, before we even decided that it was going to be 2022 for us. We had an income property that we purchased in Florida. So we just thought, honestly, we were so naive about this. We're just going to be on the road and travel. Like, we're just going to travel until we find our place, like our hometown. Well, at the time, and we still do, we have a dog. And that poor dog, like she's a boxer. And so she's a bigger dog. And so we rented a minivan when we decided to start this journey. And she was along for the ride, but she wasn't happy about it. Mm. And at one point, we really thought to ourselves, are we going to have to just like get an apartment somewhere so this dog can have like a familiar setting? Like we were really, we weren't thinking. And after a few months in, we decided, let's go to the rental house and make that a base camp. And then we have met other people that are doing similar things to what we're doing. And everyone has agreed, you need a base camp. I mean, it's just, it's necessary. And the dog needed it. So that kind of made us use the rental home in Florida as a base camp. So when our renters aren't here, because it's a seasonal rental situation we have, it's not a long-term renter, we come back to the house. So for instance, last year we were gone for like 7 months, and those other, you know, months that we were here, 8 months, maybe we're gone. And those other months we were here dipping in and out of the house, because we will still travel from the house.
And, and we should add that we're fortunate. Denise's brother and my sister-in-law live nearby, and it just turns out that she is a dog sitter. So,
that is very lucky.
It is. So our older dog who went on the road with us and was not liking us too much after having, you know, 12 years in a wonderful backyard in LA and sort of routine and consistency, all of a sudden she was also uprooted. And now she has that sort of stable home environment again, because we live so close to them. So we're fortunate that they're willing to take her if Denise and I are doing a quicker trip
if we're
gone for a month or two. Yeah. So,
yeah, we were just on the road for 2 months scoping out some areas that people have mentioned you should look here. And we didn't take her for that. So I was very fortunate. My sister-in-law watched her for those 2 months. So the dog has actually been a big factor in our travels. And some of our listeners will reach out and ask us how we do it. And we've been very honest with them that we don't do it well. Like, we have to have her with a sitter. I would never recommend this. I mean, it's for anyone who has a bigger dog or an older dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's good. Something definitely to consider if you're thinking about doing something like this. So I would love to hear about some of the places you visited, and maybe, you know, are there a couple that have really stood out that are kind of making a top five list for you? Or are there any maybe that you're like, yeah, that isn't the place for me?
Well, I'll let you go first. Because our list is actually different.
It is.
Okay, so you gotta wait until it aligns, right? And then you'll know you're onto something.
I think you're right.
For
so
sure.
Yeah, and we definitely have criteria. So you go first.
Okay, so my top five, I personally love, so we have a daughter that attends the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. I have really grown to love that town. There's a vibrancy there. There are a lot of young students there. It's not just Mormon castle after Mormon castle anymore. For those of us who are not part of that religion, there's plenty to do. Mm-hmm. Lots of outdoor activities. It's one of my favorite places to go. I love the people. I love the rustic nature. And especially, it's kind of a foodie town, which is not something you see on a lot of people's radars. So I love Salt Lake City. We went to Santa Fe. We had always talked about going there. We had never spent any time. I had no idea how much art and sort of community involvement that this little town could have. It's really a wonderful place. It's very special. We ultimately decided that we're not going to move there because there's not a major airport anywhere close. And they sort of roll the sidewalks up after 9 p.m., which is a deterrent for our children to come visit us and want to spend time with us. And then Denise mentioned staying in Connecticut. We really like the Guilford area. It's right near New Haven, so you can pop in and out of concerts or, you know, sort of larger events. But then at the same time, in Guilford specifically, there's a beach and there are also mountains. So you can hike in the morning and go to the beach in the afternoon. It's pretty perfect. And then, so how many, what number am I?
Three.
Yeah. And so, I will combine, the Kentucky / Tennessee areas right now. I spent time in Knoxville working there. We just got done visiting there, but, we really have grown sweet on a particular place called Covington, Kentucky. It's wonderful because it's right outside the city of Cincinnati. It's right across the river. And so you get your major sporting events. I'm a big sports mm-hmm. Athletics guy. And so I enjoy going to see baseball games, football games, all that. But there's still a really cool sort of artsy community there and a very welcoming environment, I would say. And then last but not least, the king of them all. The only problem for us is we have to figure out whether or not we could actually afford to live where we want to live in this particular place. And that is Savannah, Georgia. We absolutely mm-hmm. love it. 400 years of history, really cool people, lots of food, lots of things to do. Tybee Island is nearby if you want to get your ocean fix. So for all those reasons, those are my top five.
Okay. I love it. I think you did great. I don't have to live in any of them though. So I don't know. Denise, what do you think? And what are your
top five? I don't have a top five. And I have to tell you, Lisa, I just had this conversation with a listener recently and he asked me what my top five were. And I said, I only have a top two. Is that bad? And he started laughing and he said, no, he said, I probably wouldn't have a top five either because finding a place to call home is completely different than traveling and being on a vacation. Like this is a different type of travel and so many factors come into play. So unfortunately I only have a top two.
That's actually, it makes your choice easier, right? Picking from two out of five seems better. So let's hear yours.
Yeah.
So, both of them, I mean, it's similar to James. I actually would say I have a top three, to be honest with you, but one of them just unfortunately doesn't have any inventory. So I can't pick that. Like I could put it in my top three, but it just, there's nothing available. There's a little town in Connecticut called Guilford. And James had mentioned that. And mm-hmm. it is just the most charming town. If you ever saw an episode of a show called The Gilmore Girls, then you'll know of a place that they lived in called Stars Hollow. And this looks just like Stars Hollow. And it is just the sweetest place. But there's nothing available in our price range. So our price range is really between $400,000 and $600,000. So, and we feel like that's a really fair amount for to buy a home. I know that there are multi-million dollar homes. We're just not in that price bracket, nor is it something at our age that we want to get into. So between four and six seems doable. Not in Guilford. So and we spent an entire month there and we kept saying to ourselves, maybe it's not doable because we're here in the winter. And no, unfortunately, Lisa, we heard over and over again, everyone loves it here. Everyone wants to move here. There's just no inventory.
Yeah.
So that was really disappointing. So I had to that's still in my top three.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe a house will fall out of the sky. I know, right? I keep thinking that. And so I have to be realistic. And the two places I know that have inventory is what James mentioned, a town called Covington, Kentucky. It is very cute. Georgian, believe it or not, style houses, even though it's in Kentucky. And I'm sure there's somebody in Kentucky that's going to say, oh no, it's Kentucky style house. Like there's probably an era that, you know, is more Kentucky architecture, and I'm not saying it correctly, but the style of homes there are these beautiful brick, 3,000 square foot. I can't say Victorians because I don't know the correct word, but that style of home, and it's mm-hmm. just quite beautiful. A really cute art community. People are very friendly. So I like Covington. And then my other favorite is Savannah, Georgia. Okay. So Savannah's just easy to get around. It hits everything on our hit list. It really mm-hmm. does. It's walkable, so we wouldn't have to use our car. People are extremely friendly. When travelers or anyone talks about the South and they say how friendly everyone is, we can really attest to that. There is such a difference when you enter the Southern states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. I mean, just so again, Georgia, Savannah was truly a gem. Only issue with Savannah is that it is expensive. James and I don't particularly want to live in a suburb. We want to feel part of a city, even a small city, because we're not interested in a big city. We lived in a big city in LA. So we want to feel part of a downtown area. And in Savannah, it's very challenging to find a house in our price range. We could certainly move to the suburbs, but that doesn't give us the Savannah feel, if you know what I mean.
Yes. So it sounds like you're aligning a bit, but I'm wondering if there are any other places you still are hoping to explore before you make your decision.
Oh, yes, of course. There's first of all, there are always cities that pop up that listeners will say, come visit us. We think you'll like this place. But right now, I mean, we want to really, James is very much interested in seeing what Chattanooga, Tennessee has to hold for us.
Yeah. And we recently visited Pittsburgh. Denise decided quickly it's out for her.
No.
Whereas
it's too big city.
It is a big city. I mean, I know there are, you know, places outside of there and everything. I like it. I think it's a gritty town for whatever reason. It's because I grew up right across the border of Ohio in Youngstown, Ohio. So it's kind of like the same vibe. And for whatever reason, I was sort of into it. But I would say we spent a little time in Knoxville. I had the fortune of going to Chattanooga before Denise arrived in Tennessee. Frankly, I thought it may be a better place for us to end up. Now, she has also been to Milwaukee on a girls' trip recently, and I have not. And she said, you know what, don't sleep on Milwaukee. We may want to go there. But, you know, again, we're talking to a couple of people who have lived in Southern California for almost three decades. So our blood is really thin, and moving up to sort of a winter climate, even if it's only 6 or 8 months out of the year, with our income property in Florida, it would be sort of like we're getting high on our own supply, or we're eating our own profits. If we need to be here in Florida while the snowbirds that we rent the house out to also need to be here. So it's kind of, we're still navigating the northern states a bit.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of good towns.
I'm a Phoenician, Phoenix girl. So same as LA. So I understand, like, the idea of moving to Milwaukee or anywhere cold really is a little frightening. I'm sure doable.
And that is, you know, and that is one of the parameters that we actually put on our list was no cold weather. We actually had that as one of the deal breakers for us, no cold weather. But then we stumbled upon Guilford, Connecticut in the fall. It was so beautiful. Everyone kept telling me their winters were mild. And I just felt like I had to be the judge of that, because somebody else's mild, it is another person's blizzard.
Right.
So so we went back in the month of February and spent 30 days in Guilford, Connecticut. And there was two snowstorms. So their mild is definitely not our mild, but the temperature never went below, I know, okay, this is going to sound crazy, 20. Lisa. I know this is going to sound crazy, but it never went below 20, which actually we were fine with, because I'm used to Arctic winters living in Chicago for so many years. And him growing up in Ohio, he was also used to negative below zero. So being in double digits, we were like, this is actually doable.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I mean, if it's only for a couple of weeks, we can handle it. Or if it's for a month or two, if it truly is mild in terms of how long it lasts or what have you, then it was kind of nice in a way. And frankly, we were just recently in Greenville, South Carolina, and it was 16 degrees there. So we weren't expecting that. We weren't dressed for it, certainly. And so, you know, at any given point in any given town nowadays, it seems like the weather could turn on a dime. So,
oh, yeah, you can get cold weather. And even in Phoenix, it gets very cold here.
That is true.
I think in the winter anyway. It's not in the 20s. Well, sometimes it is in the 20s. So, you know, wherever you go, you're going to have to have some cold weather. But a little variety is always nice too. So I'm wondering if you have any lessons that you've learned, you know, things about maybe even traveling with your spouse and being with your spouse all the time, or some logistical things about.
Well, this feels like a setup, Lisa. Well, I gotta be honest.
I don't know. Are just lessons, like, how have you really made it work for you? Like, what advice would you have for someone, you know, another couple who's thinking, this sounds really fun, you know, setting out, but I think having some clear expectations about what things are going to be like, or just things that you've set up that help make it just good for both of you. So definitely not a setup. I just am curious, like, do you have any tips or tricks or things that have worked well for you?
Absolutely. We get, I personally get asked this question quite a bit. I'll have listeners send me a message in my DM and they'll actually come out and say, how have you not murdered James in your travels? And we set some rules from the very beginning. The number one rule was, okay, first of all, I just want to say, if anybody wants to do something like this with their husband, or the husband's listening, want to do it with their spouse, you have to at least try it first by doing a long weekend away. Because the music he's going to listen to in the car is not the music you're going to listen to in the car. The podcast you want to listen to may not be the podcast he wants to listen to. And you actually have to see what the conversations are like. So I've told so many people, don't put the for sale sign up on your house just yet and jump in the car with, you know, your loved one. Do a long weekend away first and see how you get along and the car ride, and make it a car ride that's more than 3 hours, because that's where the boredom starts to set in, like around hour three. One of the first rules we did when we started this adventure is we both decided we would not drive more than 6 hours on any given day. And we pretty much have stuck to that rule. We do break also for lunch. So we will not break at like a fast food restaurant. We actually will look on a map and try to find a local restaurant in an area, because it will give us a feel for the people. We get out of the car, it makes us walk in a downtown area. Mm-hmm. So those are two things that we've actually stayed true to. Of course, there are exceptions. If we want to get to a city before midnight and we have to, you know, drive longer, or we don't want to spend the night somewhere and just be on the road for 2 hours. So we may, there's exceptions, if you know what I mean. Like, we're not going to stay at a hotel and then just get up and drive for 2 hours. So we'll just add that to the evening before. But there have been times where I've mapped out destinations and he has said, ooh, that's a 7.5 hour drive. So we're really going to stick to six. And he kept me like on that schedule better. And that, I think, has made all the difference, because for some people, a road trip could sound like a nightmare. And we didn't want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, James, how about you? Any advice?
I would say my biggest piece of advice is that, you know, when we first started out, I was the one working primarily. And what we did not expect in trying to launch a podcast and then keep that podcast going for our listeners every week was that Denise would also ultimately be working just as much as I am. She is a full-time producer on Skiptown All-Stars. And while she's doing that, I'm still doing television jobs and helping out, you know, obviously doing the production side of the podcast. I would say, you know, you need to be guarded a little bit and be a little more patient with your partners. We've never worked in an office together. And so you have to be a little more patient with your partner's sort of workflow. And like, she will hit her peak sort of productivity starting at 8 p.m. at night and go until 1 or 2 in the morning. I don't do that. I'm an early riser. I'm usually up by 6 a.m. So there's a lot of ebb and flow in our daily calendar that we've learned to sort of tiptoe around, especially when we're the one who is up and the other one is not. And so that's required a little bit of patience in that regard. But I would say, just generally in the travel aspect of things, I would definitely say qualify every Airbnb and or hotel that you are going to book with your partner before you book it. We had a really sort of crazy experience in Roswell, New Mexico. Our Airbnb was spookier than any alien or paranormal activity that you could find there. We determined rather quickly that we were sort of staying in some sort of cult members Airbnb. So we've had adventures like that along the way. And it's all because, you know, she's driving and I'm just on booking.com or Airbnb or what have you. And I'll hit click and commit to something without running it by her, thinking, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be just like the last Holiday Inn Express that we were in Perry, Georgia. But no, this one's in Pittsburgh and it's junk, you know. So So I would say those things are very important with your partner. And the other thing, just a learning thing that I would add is I have learned that I'm very impressionable. And when there are at least 30 or 40 towns in America that I personally could live in where Denise has just completely nixed them. And it'll take me a day or two. And Denise says, you know, if somebody on the sidewalk sees me and is nice to me, then all of a sudden I'm all in on XYZ Massachusetts or wherever it is, you know. So I've learned that about myself. I'm definitely more adaptable, maybe even gullible when it comes to being in a new town.
But that's fun. I mean, you're trusting, yeah. Right? And maybe you can always find something good about living in any place. I do believe that,
true.
Right? It might not be absolutely. The best fit, but there are always going to be some positives about everywhere.
Yeah.
So, for sure. Okay. Is there any last thing that you want to share that you think would be important for our listeners to know before I ask you some final three questions that I like to ask every guest?
Okay.
If you have the desire to travel and you also, you know, coupled with our desire to find a new hometown, it seems really daunting, but it's actually not. If you have, I want to say a partner, but we know people who are actually doing it solo. So if you have a partner that's willing to do it with you and they take on a share of the responsibility and the traveling, you should do it. I mean, honestly, and if you have the opportunity where you can work from anywhere, try it. One of the things that we learned, I think, both on this journey of ours in looking for a new hometown is that there were certain loves that we had for a city before we got there, and then realized that love affair ended the minute we got there because it wasn't at all what we expected. And then there are other places we never even heard of, like this little town in Texas called Burney, that we absolutely fell in love with and had never heard of it. So the travel experiences, I mean, obviously we're looking for a new place to call home, but just the travel experiences, we'll have that a lifetime. The houses come and go. I mean, whatever house we find, we may end up selling in 5 or 6 years. Who knows where our children are going to be.
Right.
But the travel experiences we'll have forever. And that is something that no one can take away from us. And I'm such a huge proponent of it. I really am. Mm-hmm.
You're out making memories together that couldn't be made any other way.
That is all right. So true.
So what is your favorite place that you have ever visited? James, do you want to go first?
Ever, out of anything,
ever.
Vacation,
yes.
Skip Town, All-Stars, Adventures, anything.
Yes.
Okay. I would say, this is a tough one, but I would say anything that sort of knocks me out of the box in terms of culture have been the most rewarding experiences, travel experiences that I've had in my life. So
pick one.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
So we visited a lot of little towns in America that I never thought that I would ever visit or see or didn't even know existed. So that's all been great. And those are small little tastes of different American culture. But I could say, moving past Mexico City or Montreal, which are distinctly different flavors. My favorite place that I've ever been has been Luxor, Egypt. And the reason for that is being an American, I never really studied up on the fact that it's a major agricultural center, even for parts of Europe. And so I did not know that along the Nile River, you would find so many friendly people, but also the fruit smoothies are everywhere and it's legitimate fruit that's grown in Egypt. I would have never known this. And so, you know, something as like the younger me would say you're being corny with the history component and the cultural components and all that other stuff. But I'm a little older now and I like to think I've evolved. And I got to tell you, taking a balloon ride at 4 a.m., taking a boat across the Nile River to take a balloon ride and see the Valley of the Kings and everything as the sun rises, one of the most magnificent experiences I've ever had in my life. So that's my answer.
Okay.
That's my long answer.
Luxor,
Egypt.
That was a really long.
I didn't leave Denise any time, so wrap it up quickly, honey.
It's all good. All right. So Denise, how about you?
Well, I haven't traveled we've traveled overseas, but I haven't done a ton of overseas travel. I'm going to have to say, I know this is corny as heck, but if you only have one chance in your life to ever get out of your country and see something, for me, it was Paris. Because I read about it. I've seen movies about it, but to actually have boots on the ground and walk that city was phenomenal. And I've been to Dubai, I've been to Belgium, and those were fantastic. But if there's just one place ever in your life that you can go to, and I was fortunate to go to Paris, I would say that was the most memorable, because it's Paris.
It's Paris. I agree. I love Paris like so much. So I'm right there with you. All right. So do you have a favorite item that you always pack with you when you travel? And this for you might be like all your things, but do you have one thing that you just wouldn't want to leave home without?
Okay. That is so hard, because for me, the very first thing that comes to the top of my head is my lint roller. And I know that is not your typical travel item, but it runs neck and neck with my hotel socks. My hotel socks don't leave, they come with me everywhere. I won't walk on a hotel floor without my socks.
Wise.
And they're specific. They look a certain color. So everyone knows that if you see those socks, don't touch them. Don't put them on, because they've hit the floor of the hotel. And I have like four or five of them, depending on how long our trip is. So my hotel socks are key.
Okay. That's a great one. I've never heard that one before. Okay. And James, how about you?
That's the family does tease her quite a bit about her hotel socks.
For
me, it's really simple. Yeah. For me, it's really simple. My noise canceling headphones. I have a pair of Bose QC45s. There are newer models out. I've had mine for a number of years. I cannot fly without them. I find that when I'm in an airport or on a flight, it's my one chance to listen to music that I want to listen to, that Denise does not want to listen to. So I can do heavy metal for 5 hours on a plane. I don't have to hear babies or coughing or all that. But in addition to that, it really has been useful now that we are podcasting. I get to see what other podcasters like yourself are doing. And so it has afforded me the ability to, know what the best, how to get the best deals on Southwest Airlines, which I've never delved into that stuff before. All of your many, many experts that you have on your show, I'm grateful for, because now I get to consume them. And so without a doubt, my noise canceling headphones.
Love that. Okay. So one last question. Where is one place you still have on your travel bucket list? You can only pick one. So, I know it's hard. Denise, you want to go first?
Oh yeah. I know what mine is, because I've wanted to go here for years and it just hasn't happened. Italy. I want to go to Italy. That's where I want to go. So that's on my bucket list.
Well, I hope that happens for you soon.
Oh,
all right.
I hope so too.
Yes. All right, James, how about you?
I don't know. I've heard great things about Prague. So I would say somewhere in the Eastern Bloc countries. Mm-hmm. I've just heard such fantastic things about visiting that city over the years. And so I would say that would be a highlight for me.
Okay. Well, I hope you both get to those amazing places. This has been so much fun talking with you and learning about your adventure. And I hope that you're able to eventually find a great place to settle in. But really, in the meantime, I think you're having a great time. So there's really no hurry.
Thank you. I agree with you. We are having a really good time. I do hope, though, that we find something soon.
We seem to be zeroing in. But we're very grateful that you had us today. We're grateful for all the people you have on, anybody past and present and future who's going to be on your show. Really, I mean, such great value you're providing to your listeners. Thank you again.
Sure. Thank you. And just a reminder to our listeners, if you want to go over and check out Denise and James' podcast, you can find it at Skip Town All Stars Podcast on Instagram. Or do you have a website they can also check out?
Oh, we have everything. So we have, we have an Instagram, Skip Town All Stars Travel Podcast. We have a website, SkipTownAllStars.com.
Yep.
We have a YouTube. And we're on Facebook as well, which is funny enough. We kind of get a lot of people on Facebook. It's so interesting. You never know what platform is going to hit. But YouTube and Facebook,
They're good places to find you.
We have pretty pictures on Instagram.
I love it. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming, and I appreciate your time and that you were able to share so much great information with us. So hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank
you too.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.